from Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Ho, ho, ho! Lots to say about that. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 8th, 2012. And there's just no way I can summarize or in a few short minutes tell you all about what God did at our Saturday workshop where we learned to make Jesus' mission and vision our mission and vision. But suffice it to say, we all learned to love God and to love each other. But wait, there's more. In fact, so much more. We kept Bill Allison around after the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and you're going to hear that conversation. And then tomorrow and Wednesday, I'll have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio to help recap all that went on and was learned and shared. But first, some giveaways and a call-in, but don't call yet. For the great group that came out for the Saturday event, I'm going to just pull three gifts, and I have a David Jeremiah book, a Dr. Erwin Lutzer book, and the Inciting Incident book. And the three winners are Daryl Beck from Rantoul, Jim Wachowski from Mahomet, and Linda Tiarks from Gifford. You'll get one of those three books, guys. All right, pay attention, everyone. Ringling Brothers and Barnum are coming to the U of I Assembly Hall and have tickets for Friday night, October 19th, 7 p.m., four tickets for the seventh caller. This is a great deal. Four tickets to the Barnum and Bailey Bash, October 19th, 7 p.m. at the Assembly Hall. The seventh caller right now, 217-367-7777. Seventh caller, so keep trying. And as mentioned, we'll pick up our conversation with Bill Allison, president of Cadre Ministries. Bill, for those of our listeners that weren't able to make it to the workshop, you have the training manual in front of you, and I count it a privilege that we have you one more time being able to share how important it is to follow the Lord Jesus, to walk with him, to be led by him, to be guided by him in his word. And this training manual will help us, right?
Right. What we have discussed is this. That disciple-making isn't a program. It's not a series of booklets. It's not all the things that we've made discipleship. Disciple-making is simply a way of life. And it begins when we love God and love people, and we help someone else love God and love people, and we help them help someone else love God and love people. And we called this D3, the simplest understanding that I have of disciple-making based on the life of Christ. Another thing that we really talked about that's really important is that disciple-making is delivered through relationships. It's not delivered necessarily through sermons, although I appreciate sermons and I preach across this country. Sermons are valuable. They can reinforce a disciple-making way of life. But the way we give disciple-making, if it's like Jesus, is through relationships. I love that Jesus chose 12. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, designated them as apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to share with others. That's what a disciple does. They spend their time with Jesus together and other disciples, and then they help someone else fall in love with Jesus, and then they help that person help someone else in their world. Three generations delivered through relationships. And Mark and Jason, I think it's important at this point that I just make this clarification about disciple-making like Jesus and embracing his vision and his mission for all of our lives. It's what God wants for all of us. But the relationships aren't an ingredient in disciple-making. It's how we make disciples. That's different. Relationships with people is how we make disciples like Jesus.
And I think you referenced that Jesus was the perfect model of discipleship making, and he did that with the disciples, with those around him. So maybe take us through some of those techniques or tools or methods or the means besides just you and I having coffee on a Saturday afternoon. Though some unique things can happen in our relationship, what does it really mean to be making a disciple?
Well, I don't really have any techniques, and I really don't have any tricks up my sleeve other than this, and I mean this. We spend a lot of time on Saturday havering around our tables. It really is way simpler than this. I think so often we're so busy asking the wrong questions about disciple making, we never get to Jesus. And so what I would say is it's as simple as this. Get a study buddy. This is called a haver. And havering is when we study together in a small group of people around the scripture to know God and to help other people love him and how it applies to our life. So I guess what I'm saying is this, disciple-making way of life like Jesus is very simple, but it's not happening because we don't do it with other people. So find a relationship. It could be your spouse. It could be your grandkids. It could be a neighbor. It could be somebody that you're already in a small group with. Open up the scriptures, study it together, and wrestle, what does this look like for us to live like this tomorrow when we go to work? I really think it's that simple, but I think we're so busy trying to figure out some kind of method or technique that you can't reduce Jesus and his way of life to a technique or a method. You study Jesus and you try to live like him. And I think there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that actually refers to this. And I think Jason wanted to say something about that.
Yeah, that's that passage concerning, well, we know that Corinthian church is a pretty messed up church. It's an urban, young, hip church. They got a lot of problems with immorality, with sexuality, with greed. They've got a lot of problems. You can make your cultural connections if you want to some churches that might exist now and today. But Paul says there, he says, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me for this reason. I'm sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach in everywhere, every church I go to, everywhere I've been. It's the same thing, and Timothy teaches that same thing. He's going to remind you of that." I wanted to get Bill's thoughts on this and really talk about this for a few minutes, because the passage that comes prior to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through roughly 14, right before that passage I just read, it lends context, but it also, you can easily make some connections to what's going on today. You know, I mean, it says here in verse 6, Paul tells the Corinthians, don't go beyond what's written.
Mm-hmm.
He says, wait, what? Why is it more important for you to read all that other stuff than to you to read God's word and to understand what is God going to say and do and in and through your life? And he says to them in verse 8, you already have all you want. You've already become rich. What he's saying to him is, he's saying, look it, I understand you want a new Humvee. I understand you want a bigger screen TV. I understand you need TiVo. But you already have all you want. You're rich. Those things are okay, but they're not going to add to your wealth. They're not going to add to your true wealth. And then he goes on to say, this is crazy because Paul is the rock star, and that's what makes the passage with Timothy so important, to me at least, is Paul's the rock star. I mean, I imagine this hip, young, urban church, this Corinthian church, they've got T-shirts with Paul's face on it, you know, and they love Paul and flags. You know, Paul's great. People are always talking about Paul. You know, bracelets, what would Paul do, you know? And so, I mean, they're just going after Paul like crazy. But Paul says to them in verse 10, we're fools for Christ, but you guys, you're wise in Christ. You know, we're weak, but you guys are strong. You're honored, but we're dishonored. I mean, imagine, think about the people who we put up on pedestals right now, whether it be an artist, a musician, a writer, whoever it is. Maybe it's the rock star pastor that you got to listen to the podcast to every week. That person is never going to come to you and say, you know what? I'm just a fool. But you're really wise. And me, I'm not really that talented, but you are uber talented. They would never do that. But Paul here, who's the rock star of the Corinthian church, he says that to him. What he says is, he goes, you know what? Because you got Jesus, you're way better. You're way better. Paul takes this low position, and he's setting it up for the fact that he goes, you know what? And I know you want me to come to town. I know that you want the Paul tour to stop at your church so I can do my greatest hits for you. By the way, they're Jesus' greatest hits. I'm just doing revamped versions. He goes, but I'm sending Timothy. You know, it's sort of like if you're like, man, I can't wait. I mean, the Beatles are coming to town. And the garage band who just learned the Beatles tunes last week, who are really good, but they're not the Beatles, showed up instead. I mean, it would be crazy.
Well, and I think that's why Paul had all the confidence in the world in Timothy. He says, you want to learn my way of life? I'm sending you Timothy. Why? Because I spend a lot of time with Timothy, and he's learned to live like me. Oh, by the way, Paul says, I got this way of life by studying Jesus and being around people who knew Jesus personally when he was walking the earth. And he says, so I've learned this way of life from Jesus' disciples. But it's interesting to me, Paul traces it back to Jesus himself. So let's count the generations in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. We start out with Jesus. It comes from Jesus. But you know what? When Jesus was on earth, he continually says many, many times, I don't speak anything that the Father doesn't tell me, and I don't do anything the Father doesn't tell me to do. So if we see it in the life of Christ, what can we assume about God the Father?
Yeah, that God the Father was speaking to him.
So God the Father is a disciple-making God. And Jesus lives a disciple-making way of life. He pulls these few people close, and he teaches them how to live.
Now, don't forget, they got another guy in their group.
Elaborate.
Oh, they got this guy called the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
We often don't talk about him, and I'm not sure quite why. You know why it is? I made a joke at church one weekend, and I thought it was kind of funny, so I'll just throw it out here. Remember, my life is not in comedy. It's in preaching. But Jesus says in John, he says, I'm going to send you the counselor. And I think he said it because he realized we were a people who woefully needed counseling.
Absolutely.
And so I think we like to forget about the Holy Spirit because then we have to admit that we need counseling, that we are so imperfect, that we need somebody to really – Holy Spirit comes down and goes, hey, I got training wheels for you. Let me put them on for you because you really can't ride the bike yet on your own. But, yeah, you got God the Father, you got the Holy Spirit, then you
right
got
on.
Jesus.
Right. And then you got the apostles, and then you got Paul, and then you got Timothy, and then you have the Corinthian church. And then you have that little part at the end of that passage in 1 Corinthians 4:17. This is what I teach everywhere in every church. You know what Paul understood church to be? A place where everybody gathers together to learn from Jesus how to live a Jesus-like disciple-making way of life. Paul said that's what a church is.
Yeah, I say a lot to the folks that an Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad. I say the church is individual, it's communal, and it's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just this place that we meet every week. It begins with you and your life with somebody else and the community that that forms, and then how that connects to other communities and impacts culture.
Absolutely.
I know off air we were talking about our passion for reading God's Word and the importance of never substituting other readings. You know, there's people that'll spend hours in the newspaper, their magazines, watching television, and maybe devote, oh, I had my 15-minute devotional time. I got to check that off. And we're like, wait a minute. We elevate these authors, these artists, these musicians, even these preachers, radio preachers and preachers on TV, and yet sometimes we substitute our own personal time with God or in His Word and talk a little about, because we were all fired up. We could have done a whole program on the importance of just hungering for God's Word. And even at times when maybe it doesn't seem living and active, it is.
Right.
It will have an influence on your life, but how we have to dedicate and prioritize and hold it up high as first and foremost, one of the best ways to connect with God, His Scriptures. So talk a little about some of our comments off air on how important God's Word is.
Let me say this about church first. If you go to church because of who is preaching the message, you're already missing the point of the message, right? So it's not about who's a rock star, who's this, who's funny, who's whatever. You go to church because Jesus Christ wants us to be with other believers, and it's part of our cultural thing of where we can connect and learn, again, learn a Jesus-like disciple-making way of life together. So the thing that I want to say is this. There is no such thing as me reading the Bible by myself in the Bible. It's always communal. It's always in the context of relationships. It's always in the context of learning from God and each other.
Yeah, it was interesting to me. A number of years ago, I went and I filled a pulpit in a church. I think it's a church we both know, but I won't give the name. And after the message, somebody came up to me and they said to me, I didn't really like that message. I mean, I didn't agree with that message. And I went away, and at first, cult of personality, I struggled with that. I went, oh, they didn't like me. And then there was another part where I stopped and I went, wait a second, it's not about me. That's their problem, because do you realize that within the context of this church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me a message that I then gave to you, and it had nothing to do with me other than I got to be the person who stood on the stage and delivered the message. And I think that we take church out of context. We take church away from God, and we make it be all about what we're doing. We arrive to watch that guy give that message, and how eloquent is he, and how well learned and studied is he, and all that. And it's not about that. It's about the presence of God that is there that will speak to you in that moment.
Right. You know, one of the things about the scriptures that you're mentioning, Mark, is that sometimes I think we read the Bible as like a checkoff list, and then we spend all these hours reading books. And I've written books, and I love books. The books are great. But here, I feel like there's a message here for us. Sometimes I think we run from one book to the next book to the next book to the next book to cure all our ills. And I think, I wonder if God might, the Holy Spirit might be saying, why are you acting like what I've given you in my word isn't enough? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, if a book can help us with that, that's great. But let's not look to these books like they're the answer. Let's look to these books to help us illuminate God's Word, because God and His Word are the answers, right? I mean, that's what we, that's where we're going to really find help.
And it's the only book that we know is validated by Jesus, is wholly inspired, inerrant, double-edged sword, useful to revealing truth, to bring conviction.
Yep.
There should never be a substitute from God's Word. And that's one thing I appreciate about this radio ministry, is we have so many hosts that proclaim God's Word. And both of you have a passion and a love for God's Word. And I know God did a work in your life a few years ago where He brought very personalized conviction on Bill, my son, I want you to spend an enormous amount of time in the Word, getting to know the Word. It's a lifelong journey I'm going to have you on.
It is, and I want to just challenge anybody to read through the Scriptures in a year. And if you don't do it in a year, read through it in 2 years. No guilt. You know, how many, I bet a lot of our listeners have tried to read through the Bible in a year, and I bet a high percentage have never made it, and they feel guilty about it. I'm talking about taking a no-guilt trip through the Bible until you get her done. But I just want to encourage people to engage God's Word. And listen, of course, the first time I read through everything, I didn't really grab everything. But you know what? I was still encouraged in my relationship with Jesus. And I want to continue to do that the rest of my life. Read through the Bible over and over and over again, because it's inexhaustible. I see through a glass darkly, so the Holy Spirit has plenty of things to illumine me on. And there's nothing greater. But don't do it by yourself. This is where it goes to a whole new level. When we have her together, and that's what we talked about at the training workshop, when we have her together, even if it's just with your spouse or with one of your grandkids or your own children or whatever, when we have her together, when we learn together around the Scriptures, it goes to a new level. One of the reasons I have been such great friends with Jason is because he is one of my best havers. When I'm reading through the Bible and I don't understand something, I'll throw a question to him and a few other guys, and I love it when I mess with his head, because if he doesn't know, it'll bother him enough. So he's actually one of my best resources. He'll go look it up for me. But, you know, next thing you know, we're having this conversation about something that is illuminating all of us, and here's where it's got to go. All this reading of the Scripture has to get beyond head knowledge. It has to get to application.
Right.
And that's a part of disciple making.
Absolutely.
Is you're reading it, I'm reading it, we're talking about it, we're modeling it,
absolutely,
we're challenging each other in the new truth or something that's been revealed, and it's like, I never thought of it that way.
Yep.
Well, it's funny because Scripture says there's no condemnation in Christ. So when you don't read your Bible in a year, and that voice goes, oh, I didn't get it done, oh, you know, you begin to feel incredibly guilty. I don't think that's Jesus going, you didn't read the Bible, I'm really unhappy with you, I'm really mad. I think that's another voice. And I think we give that voice way too much. And then what happens in that moment? Somebody said to me, which I shared recently with a bunch of people, that Satan can't necessarily steal something from you, but he can affect your disposition in that moment. He can't rob my church from me. He can't steal my ministry from me, but he can kill the joy that I have doing it. And when you can't get through your Bible in a year, and that voice comes, which, by the way, isn't Jesus's voice, and begins to speak guilt in that, what does the guilt do? It robs you of the joy of studying the Scriptures. It robs you of the joy of saying, you know what, who cares? It took me 2 years to do the book of John. It doesn't matter. But you're radically changed through those 2 years of reading the book of John, and you have more joy because of it. There's no condemnation in Christ.
Bill, if you were going to leave maybe a couple snapshots of your conference, your workshop, what people should take away from it, because many of our listeners obviously can't show up or weren't able to make it, what would you want to convey? What would be, in a nutshell, one of the important aspects of having Jesus' vision and mission be their own vision and mission?
Mark, I wonder if this would be the place to just say you can't solve something in 4 hours of training. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would actually predict that after people went to the training, that they probably are raising more questions than ever. But I might say this, at least they're the right questions. Mm-hmm. I think we ask a lot of questions that don't take us anywhere. I hope people are a little more informed about the questions they're asking now. Now, this is a journey. This is why Jesus lived 3.5 years, 24/7 with his disciples, so they could have constant attention and answer these questions and wrestle these questions in a havering situation. So what do we have that's the 21st century equivalent? Well, you know what? We have Great News Radio. And Great News Radio is one of the ways that we walk alongside of people 24/7. We have the internet. You know, a lot of people are using the internet for evil purposes. Certainly the devil has his fair share, more than his fair share, of websites out there. But you know, one of the things that people are interested in disciple making as a way of life, we don't have a program to sell anybody. We have a website called CadreMinistries.com. That's C-A-D-R-E, Ministries, plural, .com. And if you look on there, every month we put out free stuff online that they can get to. One's called Cadre Connection. But there's a free tab. If you look at the above on that website at CadreMinistries.com, they can pillage PDFs and audios, all free stuff that we want to help people continue to walk in a disciple-making way of life. I have a personal blog called CupOfJoeWithBill.com. CupOjoeWithBill.com. It's C-U-P-O, cup O, Joe. Let's try this again. It's CupOjoeWithBill.com. CupOjoeWithBill.com. That has all kinds of stuff about disciple making as well, a bunch of humor stuff on. I have this thing called Monday Fun Day that is actually humorous. So there's all these things that we've put out there to help people, like Great News Radio, walk in a disciple-making way of life.
I know this was mentioned at the seminar, but you are very open to presenting at other churches, for other organizations, other ministries. You know, how would people get a hold of you? Besides the website, CadreMinistries.com, is there an email or a phone number for people to call?
Bill@CadreMinistries.com. Bill@CadreMinistries.com. That email goes right to me. I'm my own secretary, so it may take me a while to get there, but I will respond.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for being available for our last Thursday and Friday's edition of Mark and Friends. And today's edition of Mark and Friends, all three of these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. And you can certainly right-click on it, paste it into an email, send it to a friend, alert them on the importance of making Jesus' vision and mission their vision and mission. And CadreMinistries.com is a great way to get in touch with other resources. Bill writes his blog and have a cup of coffee with Joe.
No. A virtual cup of Joe with Bill.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So, anyways, you can listen to this broadcast by going to our website under the archive programs link at greatnewsradio.org. And thank you, Pastor Jason Schiffo, for introducing me to Bill and our radio listening family. And I know many people will continue to be blessed by CadreMinistries.com, CadreMinistries.com. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.